Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the conclusion of our two-part series titled Look Up, a message delivered by yours truly in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church. But before we get started, I think we have some time for some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Fearless, the name of this track is From the Inside Out.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And my heart and my soul, will I give you control? Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame.
To bring you.
now, as promised, here's the conclusion to Look Up.
Dude, I don't have time to stop and order something, and I don't have days to wait for it to come in. I need to find these blades. They're in this house. So I prayed, Lord, you know where they are. You can help me find these saw blades. And then, and I know this sounds simple, I left it in his hands. I said, Lord, I'm going to stop looking, and I'm going to find some other stuff to do, and you can help me find them. So y'all know what I turned my attention to? Putting that piece of dust collection hose back up. So I went over and got down between the shelf and the wall, and I fished all that out of there, and I got it all squared away, and I pulled off some duct tape that was worthless and didn't do any good, and I got that thing all set up, and then I reached up and I slid it in, and then I looked, and there was the saw blades. I was looking down here. If I would have just looked up, I could almost hear the Lord saying, look up. And when I looked up, there was the answer. So if you'll allow me to kind of borrow from that and tell you something spiritually, sometimes we're so focused on looking down here and it all looks up and we can't figure it out and it just looks unsolvable. And the Lord's saying, hey, if you'll just look up, I want to preach to you tonight. You need to have faith. You need to pray. You need to leave it in his hands and then look up and you'll find he's helping you. Now, I'm not trying to cook anybody's noodles here tonight, but I'm going to tell you, I honestly thought this. And in fact, I pondered on it so seriously, I asked my wife about it. What do you think the odds are? What do you think the odds are that a piece of pipe stuck tight in another piece of pipe about that far in could get bumped hard enough to dislodge it? And what do you think the odds are that whatever I moved applied just enough force in just the right direction to knock that out? And while we're at it, what do you think the odds are that the Lord, who knows the future, saw me in the future praying for help finding saw blades that were up high while I was looking down low and knew that all he needed to do was to get me to look up? And so, what do you think the odds are that the Lord in advance, in the past, arranged for me to knock that hose down so that when I would pray and needed help, then as I lifted the hose up and I looked up, that would cause me to get my answer? I wonder how many times the Lord's answer to prayer started before we even prayed. Now, all you've got to do to kind of get a grip on this is think about how slow a sloth is. And then, as in the words of Bishop T.F. Tenney, the only way the sloth reached Noah's ark on time was it had to start way in advance. How long before the flood did it take the sloth on this long, slow journey to get to the right place at the right time? Did y'all ever stop to think that in order for the wise men to come, they had to see the star before the time was right? They had a journey to make, and that journey was going to take time. And so they arrived at a time that the Lord wanted them there, and that timing meant they had to leave early. And we get all boggled down in time. Time doesn't bother God. Amen. Let me get back to John on the Isle of Patmos, who's looking over here, but the Lord shows up somewhere where he wasn't looking. He said, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, we don't often catch this, but this was written in the Greek language and translated into English. And in the Greek language, Alpha is the first letter of the alphabet. It's their A. And Omega is the last letter of the alphabet. It's like our, it's not our Z, but it's like our Z in being the last letter of their alphabet. So when he said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what he's saying is, hey, I'm the beginning, and at the very same time, I'm also the ending. And oh, by the way, he's everything in between. You hear me when I tell you, what you think is a time problem is not a problem for God. He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And watch this. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned. Amen. Sometimes, and I know this is not earth-shattering wisdom, but sometimes if where you're looking is the wrong direction, you got to turn and look somewhere else. He said, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and a girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, I want you to notice this. There are three different reorientings of John the Revealer. He starts off looking at Patmos, looking at nothing worth looking at, and he reorients himself to turn to look at Jesus. When he sees Jesus, he reorients himself again by going down. Now, if you're thinking in a two-dimensional plane, there's only left, right, forward, and back. There's no up or down. But if you'll get beyond a two-dimensional plane and think in three dimensions, you realize there's both an up and a down. And he now is, for the first time, moving somewhere other than the two-dimensional. It was looking that way in two-dimensional, and then it was turning to look that way in two-dimensional. But now he moves to go downward. He's now three-dimensional. He said, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now that's Revelation chapter 1. I want to skip now to Revelation chapter 4 and beginning with verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, he doesn't say, I looked up, but I'd like to ask you, if he saw something happen in heaven, don't you think we can read between the lines and understand that when he said, I looked, what he meant was, I looked up. And when he looked up, he demonstrated another reorienting. He looked the wrong way. He looked the right way, but in a two-dimensional plane. Then he went down, and now he's looking up, and he sees a door opened in heaven. And he said, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up. Oh, this is so awesome. If we look up, eventually we're going to hear him say, come up. Hey, One day he's going to come get us, and we ain't going to have to put up with this mess no more. I'm waiting for the day. I'm looking up, and one day he's going to say, come up. Praise God. The Lord said to him, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Amen. So some scholars have this concept that the atmosphere of the earth is the first heaven, that outer space is the second heaven, and that other dimension, that realm where the throne of God is, that is the third heaven. The Apostle Paul spoke of the third heaven. I want to preach to you tonight. We too often think in a limited fashion. We think of an earthly realm and not a heavenly realm. We think two-dimensional instead of three-dimensional. We think left, right, forward, and back, instead of understanding that there is a down and there is an up. Amen. Down and up are available directions. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, but he was a wee little short man, and the crowd was tall. And I'm so proud of Zacchaeus. Y'all know what he did? He said, I got to reorient. I got to think outside the box. And if I keep looking like I'm looking, you know, the definition of insanity, to keep doing what you're doing and expect a different outcome. He said, if I'm going to see him, I got to do something different. So he thought outside the box. He thought three-dimensionally. And so that little dude shimmied up a tree and he said, hey, I got the vantage point. And down through the ages, all kind of people were smart enough to have a three-dimensional viewpoint. That little boy that didn't have money for that ticket to that baseball game, but he wanted to see it so bad. So he climbs up a tree, and now he's got a viewpoint. He's over the wall. He didn't buy a ticket. He ain't even in the ball field, but he's watching a game. That's how Zacchaeus was. He's like, I was too short, so I didn't have a ticket, but this got me my ticket. And the Lord, you know who stood out in that crowd? That one guy that climbed that tree. Jesus showed up, and Jesus looked up. Now, this is amazing to me. It's all the time the Lord trying to get us to look up. But in this instance, Zacchaeus got the Lord to look up. And the Lord looked up and the Lord spoke to him and said, come on down. I'm going to go eat at your house today. Amen. Zacchaeus thought outside the box. I want to tell you about somebody else who thought outside the box. And this was just recently preached on or taught on, I think, when I was out of town by Elder Bud Sandy, the woman with the issue of blood. Zacchaeus wanted to see him. But this woman, she wanted to touch the hem of his garment. She'd been to all the doctors. In fact, she'd been to so many doctors, she had spent all her money. She spent all her money on doctors, and they couldn't help. Now, I don't blame the doctors. The doctors aren't God. I'm thankful for what they can do. I'm thankful for what they can do. I'm thankful for the wisdom and the technology and the knowledge that they have. But understand, folks, they're humans. They're not God. But we serve one who is described as the great physician. There is only one type of medical treatment that has zero chance of side effects, and it's when you get healed by God. Zacchaeus wanted to see him, but this woman wanted to touch the hem of his garment. So she thought outside the box. She couldn't get to him through the crowd, so she thought, you know what, there's a little opening down here between these legs. So she gets down on all fours, and she is crawling on hands and knees. So where Zacchaeus went up, she went down. And when she went down, she was able to make it through. I can see in my mind, there's somebody standing here, and there's somebody standing here, and then there's Jesus. And she is on the last leg of her strength, but she just reaches right in between a couple of people, and she grabs a hold of the hem of his garment, and instantly she gets her healing. The Lord stops. Whoa! Who touched me? And they said, Master, you're being thronged by a crowd of people. How can you say who touched me? And she said, no. Somebody touched me. I felt the healing virtue go into them. Amen. Out of all that crowd, she's the one that caught his attention, that got his healing. I want to preach to you tonight that down and up are available directions. Sometimes if you can't find the answer, you need to think about going down. Down onto your knees in prayer, down into a prostrate position on the carpet and praying before the Lord and seeing God bring you help. No matter whether I go down or up, God is already there. There's nowhere you can go that God's not already there. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139 and verse 8, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." I'm going to open this altar in a moment for us to seek the face of the Lord. I want to read to you Psalm 139, and I do this sometimes. I have you look at your King James Version, and I read from the New International Version. Psalm 139, the preamble says, "For the director of music of David, a psalm." And I'll never forget our Jewish rabbi friend from Israel telling us that there's a difference between a psalm of David and of David a psalm. Wasn't that awesome? But this is one of those instances. He said, "For the director of music of David, a psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Let me just pause here and say, don't try to hide something from God. The Bible says that we are open and naked before him with whom we have to do. There's nothing you can hide from God. Watch this. And this comes back to what I was saying about the Lord setting up the answer to our prayers before we even pray our prayers. This is what he said. "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, that I know full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." And isn't this an amazing pro-life scripture to read on the first day of the month for respecting life? He said, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, I read to you a moment ago where the Lord told John that he would have a message for each of the churches. And one of those churches was Philadelphia. "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These are the words of the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door which no one can shut. For you have only a little strength, yet you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Look at those who belong to the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews but are liars instead. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I love you. And arise. This is a quote from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 4. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He said he would bring kings to the brightness of thy rising. And he spoke these words. Lift up your eyes. Amen. I'm thinking of that scripture that says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Let me just pause here and say, they were dealing with enemies that worshiped the sun. They were dealing with enemies that worshiped the moon. They were dealing with enemies that said, it's going to be us and you and our God versus your God. And there's a reason why the Lord said, the sun ain't going to do nothing to you. The moon ain't going to do nothing to you. Because the moon and the sun aren't gods to be worshiped. They're natural things created by the only true God. He said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, throughout this room, there's people with different challenges, different torments, different problems, different issues. But amazingly, there's only one source that has an answer for every single problem in this room. And I want to ask you tonight to look up. To look up to the one who has the answer. I'm going to go to him tonight in prayer. And even if my body is in a posture of going down in kneeling or being prostrate on the floor, in my spirit, I'm going to be looking up. Amen. And whether you adopt that posture physically or just in your spirit, I'm encouraging you tonight, look up. Amen. I think we really ought not overlook the fact that twice now, Elder Bud and then me, the Lord is saying to this to us, to look up. I know the problems range from completely unsolvable all the way down to minor, but regardless of what, it might be something, folks, just as simple as I can't find the saw blade. You say, what does God care about saw blades? I'm just going to tell you, sometimes God doesn't care about the thing, but he cares about you so much that he'll help you with the thing because he cares about you, not because he cares about the thing. It's because he cares about you. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Don't sit back and say, well, my problem's too small to bring to him. If that problem is sweating you, then it's serious enough to bring to him. Amen. But I just want us to seek the Lord from everything from the impossible on down. Let's look up to him and let him bring us answers. Let him bring us help. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.